whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
We welcome you today to the Living Waters Broadcast. We thank you for having tuned in. David Livingstone was born in Scotland in 1813. He later married and became a doctor, a missionary, and an explorer in Africa. He was greatly loved by the Africans. He died on his knees in his tent in Chitambo, Zimbabwe in 1873. In his later years, he had become very famous. After he died, the Africans that were with him buried his organs in Africa, and they dismembered his body and took it many miles to the coast to be sent back to the British Isles. A state funeral was held for him in one of the large cathedrals in London. A man went to the funeral, and as he sat down, he sat by a man that was shabbily clothed and had the appearance of a man who had lived on the street. He sat by the man, and the man cried. He asked the man if he was okay. The man then told him his story. He said that he had grown up in the same town or village where David Livingstone had grown up in Scotland. They lived on the same street. Their fathers worked in the same mine. They went to the same school, and they went to the same church. David had given his life to Christ, and he had not. He was now a drunk and had thrown his life away on drink and vice. And then he compared his life to David Livingstone, and he said that his life had been wasted and he had no hope. How sad! He heard the same gospel that David Livingstone had heard. He had the same opportunities that David Livingstone had had. He had refused to repent when he heard the gospel, and he had lived his life with his back turned on God. David had repented and lived his life, having given his life to Christ. This man was close to the end of his life, and as he looked back, he saw that it was wasted. As he looked forward, he saw that he had no hope. He hadn't been forgiven. He didn't have eternal life. He couldn't look back over his life with any satisfaction that it had been in any way worthwhile. He was soon to face death, and he had no hope. How sad. That's what happens when you put self first. What about you, my friend? What's it going to look like at the end of the way for you? Have you been forgiven? Do you have eternal life? What will it be when you face death? How will you look when you look back over your life? The Apostle Paul could write from a Roman prison and say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For this man who knew David Livingstone, for him to die was going to be a terrible loss. But for David Livingstone, it was gain, a glorious and great gain. What will it be for you, my friend, when that day comes? Will it be gain or loss? Paul could say that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Can you say that, my friend? For you to live today, my friend, is what? Whatever we live for, that is our God. For the man at the funeral, it was drink. For others, it may be pleasure or money or position or sex or something else. Whatever takes first place in our life becomes our God. The man at the funeral had never repented. He had never turned from his own way to the Lord. Jesus is Lord, and if we receive him as our Savior, we also have to receive him as our Lord, because he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Two types of birds are said to fly over the deserts of California, the hummingbird and the vulture. All the vulture can see and look for is rotting flesh, because that's all he seeks. It is nourished by that diet. But the hummingbird ignores the carcasses and smelly flesh of dead animals. Instead, he looks for the tiny flowers of the cacti. He buzzes until he finds the colorful flowers, almost hidden from view by the rocks. Each bird finds what it seeks. My question today, my friend, is what are you looking for? Better yet, what are you finding? What you're finding says what you're really looking for. Your expectations of life will determine your outcome. What are you looking for, my friend? What are you living for? What you are living for becomes your God. It may not be drink or drugs or vices, but if it's money, a position, or for a certain person, that becomes your God. Whatever takes the place of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives becomes our God. In Habakkuk 1:16, there's a curious verse and says the following, "Therefore he sacrifices unto his net and burneth incense unto his net, because by them his portion is fat and his food plenteous. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his net, for by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich." Why do they worship their nets? Because their nets give them what they want. At the heart of their worship is themselves. They worship their nets because the nets give them what they want. Listen to Romans 1:22-23. "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." They worship the creature rather than the Creator. They worship man. They worship themselves rather than God. Isaiah 53:6 expresses the same truth, but puts it in a little different way. "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Instead of God and his way, it is me and my way. Instead of God being first, we put ourselves first. And we become the center of our world. And in this way, we're worshiping the creature instead of the Creator." You see, the man at the funeral, when he had refused to repent, he was just saying, "No, I'm going to keep self on the throne of my heart." Having turned to his own way, he refused to turn back and give the throne of his heart to the Lord Jesus. When we trust Christ for salvation, we settle the issue of who is in charge. In Isaiah 53:6, where we see that each one of us has turned to his own way, what we see here is that the man says that he is in charge of his own life, and he goes his own way, running his own life. That is the root of sin. The root of the problem in the life of the man at the funeral was not the drink, but his refusal to repent and turn back to the Lord as a wayward sheep turns back to the shepherd. You may not have lived a life of drink as the man at the funeral did. You may have lived a fairly moral life, knowing that drink and vice lead to problems and trouble. You may live a life of morality and religion, but you and I have both turned away from God to go our own way. You may say that you are a good person and have always been with God, but Isaiah 53:6 says something different. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. All mine, friend, includes you, and it includes me. A sheep astray is not with the shepherd. He is far away because he has turned to his own way. And that is what you and I have done. This was the heart of the man's problem at the funeral. And it is the heart of my and your biggest problem. Another Bible puts it the following way. We have all turned away, like sheep that take the wrong path. Each of us has turned to follow our own way. What have you done, my friend? You have turned away. The man at the funeral had turned away, and this eventually led him to drink. You may not be in drink or vice, but be a very respectable person. But you have still turned away, just like I have. We can't argue with the Word of God. It tells the truth about ourselves. We may not like what it says, but it is the truth. Over a century ago, a man was traveling in a very primitive area. One morning, he pulled out a mirror to shave with. One of the natives saw it and saw the man's face perfectly reflected in the mirror and was greatly surprised. He had never seen a mirror. He had only seen a poor reflection of himself in the water of a pond or lake. The owner of the mirror saw how interested he was in the mirror and asked him if he would like to see himself in the mirror, and he said yes. He put the mirror in front of his face, and as he had seen the other man do, when he saw himself in the mirror, he broke the mirror. He didn't like what he saw, and his reaction was to break the mirror. Many people do the same with the Bible, which is a mirror that lets us see ourselves for what we really are. It shows us here that we have turned our backs on God to go our own way and to live for ourselves. But the verse doesn't end that way. It not only tells us what we have done, but it tells us what God has done. Listen to what it says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God in his love for us has taken our sin and laid it on his Son, who bore our punishment on the cross. God offers forgiveness to the sheep that's willing to turn back to the shepherd, to return as a sheep does to the shepherd, to submit to the leading and direction of the shepherd. The sheep that has returned doesn't now go his own way. He now follows the shepherd. The Bible calls turning back repentance. And in Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus tells us twice here that unless we repent, we will perish. This is what Jesus said. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus paid the penalty of our sin, and we can return just as we are. But the lost and wayward sheep must return. That is repentance. When did you repent? When did you return? You and I have both gone astray. Listen to 1 Peter 2:25. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. It talks about returning to the shepherd here. When did you get off the throne of your heart, my friend, and give that throne to the one who deserves that throne, the Lord Jesus Christ? Today is the day to return, to renounce your rebellion and ask for forgiveness and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it today. Thank you for having tuned in to the Living Waters broadcast.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.